Hello, everybody. It's Friday night, and this is the Supernatural Substation on UPRN Talk Radio. That's www.uprntalkradio.com. Friday night, so you know where you are. You're in the substation with me. I'm your host, Ellen Castanio, and my co-host is
Ernie,
making noise in the background.
Oh, I forget I have that webcam audio, and you can hear everything.
You can let him out. It's okay. You can let him out now. All right. It's okay. We'll just have to dump him another time. Anyway, welcome back to the fun. And as usual, this is our new thing. Zeke is here with us, and he wants brains. And so apparently do we. So, another Friday, and another great guest that Bernadine has dug up, no pun intended. that my daughter turned me on to, and she's into all this conspiracy theory and, you know, New World Order and all that, and really until I looked at this guy's work and began to put like two and two together, I was like, wait, you know, this is seriously, you know, this stuff is seriously occult, and they are seriously practicing some really occult crap here, you know. So that's when I began to look at it, you know, a little bit more. I mean, the rest of it, you know, usually comes from the science fiction or, you know, from UFOs and all this other stuff. And I just don't, you know, I've never really been on the science level with it. You know that, Dean, because it's, you know, right. I dated a scientist and it didn't come out well. Mm. So that'll be in about 20 minutes or so. And his name is Isaac Weishaupt, and his website is IlluminatiWatcher.com. But I went to see, and I'm going to talk to him about this too, I went to see the new movie Life, and I think I was at the first showing at the theater near me, and it's the one with Jake Gyllenhaal in it, and the Martian. I think they really should have named it Martian, you know, the Martian, but anyway. So it's a science fiction movie, basically, and there, of course, we've got the Americans and every freaking country on Earth. You've got a Japanese guy, a Russian woman, a British woman, some guy from somewhere else, and then we've got Jake Gyllenhaal, who's American, and we had two Americans and two British. But anyway, they're on the International Space Station. And they are waiting for the retrieval of samples of Martian dirt. And, of course, you know, every good horror movie starts with, you know, a bad decision at some point. So I'm not going to spoil it for everybody, but I will say, and there is a lot of global New World Order symbolism in the thing, and then references. These are, you know, these sort of arcane references to the globe. Instead of saying, like, for instance, NASA said we need to do this, it's like something called the committee. But it was good. It had a twist at the end, which some people are smart and probably will anticipate. And yeah, I'm not going to say too much, but I am going to like write a review, but it's just sort of like, it's hard to reimagine these, you know, creatures in space. It's difficult. You know, the only one who's really done it successfully is the Alien franchise. And that's coming out. There's a new one coming out in May. And Pirates of the Caribbean, and something else is coming out in May. But anyway, it's a good movie if you like Jake Gyllenhaal, which I do. He's not in every scene, but he's in a lot of it. And it's got that little suspense, but if you're really a sci-fi horror movie fan, you're going to recognize a lot of stuff. And it's hard it's hard to do something and stand alone. And I think Ridley Scott did it with Prometheus, but I'm not too sure. You know, we'll just wait and hear other reviews. But for me, it was familiar in a lot of ways. So, and just like I said, it's difficult to do this Lost in Space thing without treading on, you know, other people's feet and all that. So Dean won't go because she doesn't like hearing people eat popcorn.
True.
This would have been the show for you, though, because there was like a little...
I'll see it when it comes out on the DVR,
mm-hmm.
where I can record it.
No, it's good. I mean, it is. It keeps your attention and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the little creature comes to life, you know. And, of course, actually the real bad decision is the guy who is, like, over-pushing, trying to... I'll say resuscitate whatever they find in the soil. And he's the one who caused the whole thing. He really pushed it too far, and everybody's got has to deal with it. But there's some novel, really novel scenes in it. So I think it up the bar and dying in space. You know, that might be. But I thought it was good. And, I mean, it inspired me to put together a terminus tonight that is kind of like inspired by space. You know, a final frontier, the whole thing. Yeah, so, yeah, that'll be quick.
Does the movie give us hope?
Not much.
Not much.
No,
okay.
Not much. Without giving it away, no, it kind of leaves us with a really problematic situation, but,
Oh, crap.
But, you know, I mean, without saying precisely where, every movie that I'm going to make, okay, I basically recognize some kind of trope or, you know, some similarity. The Blob, okay, Alien, the first Alien, and then a little bit of the second Aliens as well. Galaxy, I think, is the one that has Sandra Bullock and George Clooney in space doing the spacewalks. Prometheus, which is the new retread. What other ones? Totally lost, but you'll recognize them. Not really any alien type movies like the gray aliens. So none of the Close Encounters or anything like that. But, for horror in space, it's definitely, got those elements. You know, that you'll recognize. So basically leave it alone and don't go stick a stick in it. I think that, you know, that should be every alien space movie or every space alien horror movie. This is the only words they need to know. Don't stick anything in it. Okay? Because like in The Blob with Steve McQueen trying to be, running around trying to look like a 17-year-old and, you know, whatever. Well, the old man that sees the blob or the meteor, and he sticks a stick in it, and it starts the whole thing. So, don't
you know
stick
that,
anything
that, in it. The blob was made in my town, Abbeville.
I did not know that.
Yes.
I thought it was made on a back lot in Hollywood.
No, it was made here.
You're talking about the original, Steve McQueen. Or there was a remake.
There was a remake in...
Oh, that one.
That one was in Abbeville.
Oh, okay, so I was right. The first one is like, you know, Hollywood. It even looks like Hollywood, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they drive a car from the cinema to whatever, and you see, like, you know, shots that you saw in, like, The Rifleman or Twilight Zone. They get reusing stuff. But no, this is a pretty sophisticated... technologically, it's pretty sophisticated, and as is typical, no matter how much technology that we have, it doesn't always save us. And I guess that's the final, you know, the final message for me. It's like, it don't matter if you know pi, you know, the whatever mm-hmm. the airspeed velocity of an unladen sparrow, you know, or the number 42. It doesn't matter, you know, because it's the simplest thing. That's the other one, War of the Worlds. It's the simplest thing that is the downfall. But I'm not going to give anything away. I'm not going to say who dies and who lives. But, you know, it was good. Go see it. It had about 82 previews before it actually started.
Wow.
One of the previews was Tom Cruise. I love Tom Cruise. I would love to sit and talk with Tom Cruise, because he's a Scientologist, and I'd like to kind of burst the bubble. But anyway, The Mummy is actually, and I have read that they were remaking it, and so it's like, instead of a male mummy, instead of it being Imhotep or whoever it was, the Boris Karloff and everybody else, you remember with Brandon Fraser and all, it's a female mummy, and she's not real happy.
Of course not.
Which is something else that probably Isaac would recognize, because it's a female, and once she wakes up, every faith or every religious belief system outside, well, even in Christianity, they have the destroyer or the, you know, the anti-Christ would be the devil, anti-Odin would be Loki, you know, you know, in every, basically every belief system, this thing apparently looks like Kali, which in the Indians, basically, along with Shiva, Kali is the god Shiva's wife, only it's like her split personality side that's not too happy, and she's usually depicted with the skulls of men hanging around, you know, her neck, her tongue's out, she's, you know, drinking blood, she's got knives and all kind of stuff in every arm, you know, she's got like 8 arms, and so not nice. And so that's a goddess reference to basically, you know, like the evil, angry element. And so that's kind of like, I know you were saying it's like, you're thinking about the subject matter, but that's kind of like what we're going to talk about with Isaac, because he found, I'm on his bio page, but again, he can tell us a little bit more about it, but, you know, I mean, as obviously a kid of pop culture, you know, he liked a lot of the same things, like Aliens and, what do you call it, The X-Files, so, you know, and several other things, is always pondering. And he began to look at just basically things that reappeared and appeared in different forms and in different ways in different movies, primarily in sci-fi and science fiction, science fantasy, science horror. And he began to notice, I suppose, and he can tell us more, just popular symbolism. And it's like, you know, you go down a particular rabbit hole, just like in The Matrix, and that's the only reference to that.
This is Michael Engel with Daily.
But you go down a rabbit hole and you end up following and finding stuff, that you didn't know before. And if you go a little further to where that points you, then you're like, you're at the point where you know stuff you wish you didn't know, you know, and you, mm-hmm. when it's like, once you see something, you can't unsee it. It's this way with the symbolism and the plants and everything that they have, laid, you know, this just like all of these landmines across popular culture where kids can, you know, can come upon them and follow. I'm talking that really popular culture, like Beyonce, speaking of goddesses, they, you know, she's in sort of like the goddess mode, then there's, you know, the gods, and then behind it all is the Illuminati. And even behind the Illuminati is like the Illuminati. It's like mm-hmm. it's like the whole, you know, puppet masters and this cabal of control and everything. And, but like I said, you know, Amanda, my daughter, was into it a lot more. She, you know, she's going to all these YouTube pages and all. And then the Pizzagate thing happened during the election, right before the election in October. I think this broke. And I think it decided the election really for Trump. But, it was the first time that I had my ideas because I could see similarities to rituals, to things that Aleister Crowley had done. You know, I was seeing this is strange or this is this for a while, and then the Pizzagate happened. And I don't know if you remember reading about it, but there's this woman named Marina Abramovitz, and she's the high priest. She's a high priestess of Thelema, which is the church that Aleister Crowley founded, basically the black church. And you can look her up. She's like 70-something years old and doesn't look a day over 45 or 40. And, you know, I was like, wait a minute. And then the spirit cooking was mentioned. And I was like, wait a minute. This is seriously a cult. You know, I was like, this woman is doing rituals. And I'm talking big-ass rituals. There's no other way to say it. They are doing this magic with a K on the end on a worldwide and cosmic, like interplanetary, whatever scale. They're actually doing. That's when my antenna went up and I was like, whatever this is, I don't know about all the other stuff. You know, people come up with all kind of crazy stuff, but that's something to worry about. And as soon as the Pizzagate thing was all about pedophilia and pedophile rings and, you know, it had to do with the Clintons and their money, and it was just terrible. And apparently it's founded in truth, because now there's a select committee in Congress who's investigating pedophilia in and around Washington, D.C. I don't know if that's like the fox, you know, guarding the fox in the hen house, but something might come. But whatever that woman is doing, that's some serious stuff.
Don't it kind of remind you of that show Death Becomes Her or Death Becomes Me? Remember with
Meryl Streep and Goldie Hawn, I think.
Yeah, they had this one woman that never aged. She had this bottle of some kind of liquid that would swirl.
and they
would pay all this money to just, you know, get one of these bottles.
Mm-hmm.
And it was supposed to make them live forever.
Well, yes, and I remember that. And then you've got, you know, the Saint Germain, the story of, you know, Comte de Saint Germain, who came up with the elixir of life or whatever. But in this case, in the Pizzagate thing, and then, you know, I mean, that's just the basically the underline of it, Pizzagate. I could say a bunch of other stuff, but allegedly, and I think they're really doing this, these people are injecting blood into into themselves. And the blood is taken from babies and children. So they're regenerating their cells with blood from infants and children that are later either sold into sexual slavery or already doing it, because every time, let's say you're a high priestess, well, every time you're going to do something, you need to give them something in return. If them being the entities, demonics, or whatever it is that you're in touch with, that you want to do this thing for you, you have to give them something. In other words, you have to sweeten their pot, or they're not going to continue to help you, and they may take you, you know, instead. So, and thus begins, you know, the whole terrible association with, you know, with really bad spirits who eventually get tired of you telling them what to do. But this woman, she would mix blood and semen and menstrual blood and all sorts of other stuff into this bucket, like you see those buckets, those paint buckets at Home Depot, and she would write these cryptic messages on the wall and that, and all that is, writing in blood and writing in bodily fluids, that's ceremonial magic, but it's uncontrolled, which means that she's the priestess controlling it. And then I don't know if you saw the picture, because this, and Isaac will explain it more, but like, you know, Lady Gaga comes up, as do a lot of celebrities, like God's sake, Miley Cyrus, and who's that other one, Katy Perry, and people I don't even know, and I don't want to know who they are and all. But Lady Gaga was in a picture at some sort of event that this woman had, and there was a body, which I think was alive. I'm not sure, but I think it might have been alive. There was somebody laying in this big tub, and it was liquid that looked like blood. It looked more like old blood. You know how blood gets darker, you know, when it's old? And it's in this pot, this big vat, like a bathtub. And here's Gaga and these other people with teaspoons, and they're just eating whatever that is, you know. Now, maybe it wasn't old blood. Maybe it was molasses or, you know, dark dark Karo syrup. I don't know, but
this is around Halloween because we talked about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can tell in the photograph that they were really high off and around.
Yeah. Mm. And they were up in the air, right? And at some, it was this woman, Abramovich, either somebody who had her come to their house or, you know, whatever. So, and then if you look, there were additional pictures where there's a bunch of little kids. And it got steam, it became a, you know, pretty much a big old snowball right before the election. And it really popped. I mean, it really exploded onto the scene. And if there was anybody that was like on the, you know, on the cusp of Trump and they really weren't happy with the Democrats, I think this is what probably pushed a lot of people to say, I'm tired of this kind of crap with this asshole. I want somebody else. So, mm-hmm. And then we got, you know, Donald Trump, who a lot of people allege, is part of it or was part of it. Remember I told you, what my thoughts about, Trump were initially, the very first thing, he's calling the guests now, so we're probably going to have Isaac in here a little bit, but the very first thing that I thought when Donald Trump became a candidate and popped out there was like, this guy's a plant. He's a Trojan horse, you know, and I kept telling people who were so supportive, hey, Isaac.
Hey, what's going on?
He's been calling. Look, Joe is messaging me. We're talking about you, and we're talking about symbols, and we're talking about all kind of crazy stuff like Pizzagate and everything. I'm Eileen.
Oh,
I'm Eileen Pisanio, and Bernadine is on the line.
Hi,
yeah, Bernadine. Hello. Well, I know she's been in touch with you, and I was just filling her in because she said she was kind of like out of. Yeah, she wasn't keeping up with all the latest in conspiracy theory stuff. So,
there's a lot. There's definitely a lot.
Yeah, ever changing. And we were talking just now about Pizzagate, and that led me to just basically say, well, I'm just going to finish my thought. I initially thought Trump was sort of like a Trojan horse, you know, basically to look so ridiculous that Hillary would win. And I think the biggest surprise for somebody was that he actually won. And, you know, and then she didn't win. So it couldn't have been, I think he just got off their chain, whoever they are. And that's what we're going to talk to you about. So, anyway, let me introduce you. I've been talking about you. Do you say your name Weishaupt or Weishaupt or?
I pronounce it Weishaupt. If you were to give it the accurate, German pronunciation, it would be Weishaupt, but I find people can find it easier if I just pronounce it, you know, with the W,
the
not a real name, pseudonym.
Yeah.
Yeah, the way it's spelled, that's how I pronounce it.
Well, my daughter, who, she's 26, who's very interested in sort of following the rabbit holes, you know, and all of this, and she's the one who first introduced me, quote-unquote, to you on YouTube, and I just got like blown away by your videos. Like, you know, I finished one and then I'd have to watch another one and I was like, this is so true, you know, and it sort of, I'm going to let you explain it, but I know in a lot of your videos, you look at the symbolism that appears and it's almost like a learn to see thing. If you can read the symbols and recognize the symbols, then you realize what's going on. So it's like joining a club, basically. But I'm going to let you talk a little bit more about that. I did basically tell everyone about how you got started from your bio page, looking at, you know, the X-Files, Alien, the Alien franchise, and all that. So why don't you just, let's hear it from you, just basically how you got started in it and where you took it.
Sure, yeah. Well, thanks for having me on here. What drove me to go down this path is similar to many others, is this feeling of something just not quite being right. And I've always kind of been a skeptical guy of many things. But when I actually, it's funny because when I started taking my health and nutrition seriously about 15 years ago, maybe, that's when the pizza started coming together, because at the time I was just kind of casually interested in, you know, aliens and like you said, you know, works of entertainment that have these kind of themes of occult nature, aliens and whatnot. But when I started reading about how the, you know, the food industry works, you know, you'll notice there's never coupons for fruits and vegetables. It's always some kind of processed toxic garbage. You know, you see how this plays out with the tobacco industry, and so on and so forth, and like GMO labeling, you know, why are these people fighting so hard to ban the labeling of GMOs? Mm-hmm. And you see that there's something awry here, right? The question is, what's the problem here? And you think, well, you know, maybe these people are just greedy. Okay, mm-hmm. Sure. Then you look at the pharmaceutical industry, and you see that, you know, like David Icke talks about, he says there's something literally perverted and satanic about our culture, where the you go to the hospital and you get sicker because they put you on these kind of like, you know, statin pills or whatever it is, and stuff that actually makes you feel worse. And I'm not trying to dismiss all of modern medicine. It's got its, you know, good points, but in general, if you can avoid going to the doctor, that's your best bet.
And then, you know, you hear that?
You start,
yeah. She just had surgery on her left wrist, carpal tunnel, right? Was it a correction, Dean? Is that what you had?
It's a correction from the carpal tunnel on the nerve. Yeah, I had a surgery last year, and I tore a tendon, so I had to get that declaravane surgery.
That just hurts my wrist to hear it. But we were just talking about the medications and, you know, how it hurts. And I mean, you know, we're just going through that. So you are so
Yeah, and you got to be careful because, you know, and I don't necessarily think all medical doctors out there worshiping Satan by any means, but you got to be careful because, they'll put you on opioid pills, painkillers, knowing that there's huge problems with this as far as the addictive nature of them go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not trying, like I said, I'm not trying to, like, say, let's get rid of all modern medicine. I'm just saying that there's a financial interest in all of this, especially in America. And if you look at the history of pharmaceutical, industry there, you look at go all the way back to the Hippocratic Oath, they're swearing their allegiance to these pagan gods and goddesses.
Mm-hmm.
And that ties us into a lot of these things that most people think are a little too outlandish to believe in, this idea of, you know, Katy Perry channeling goddess entities and, Beyonce channeling different spirits from other dimensions like Sasha Fierce. When you start to research all of this stuff, you find there is indeed a common thread that takes you all the way back to these ancient mystery schools and trying to unravel this giant kind of rat's nest of stuff is what keeps me going, because it's like there's never an end to it. There's always something else that you've got to figure out a way to incorporate into this kind of overarching theory of what the hell is going on in our in our world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And you take it back to the Illuminati. When people talk about the Illuminati, you get this look from people, or when you try and talk about it, go, the Illuminati, they just blow it off because it's something so ridiculous sounding that it simply couldn't be real, right? And that's what they bank on. And it's like I was just saying before we had you in there, it's like the Illuminati, but then they're not the be all and end all. Like beyond them is the real Illuminati, the actual bad guys, one of whom died recently, right? Rockefeller. I didn't see anybody who was sad about him going. But, if you remember, while you were just talking, X-Files, there was that one where they found all that corn out in the field or something. And you just, when you say GMO and everything, I think about that. Because even back then, X-Files was kind of like predicating everything that we're hearing now. So I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, that was in the, I think that was the movie, right? X-Files.
Oh, yeah, it could have been the first movie. Yeah, yeah, and they had that whole growing all this corn and, you know, whatever. And so, I mean, that was like, you know, the predictor of kind of what we're seeing now. And I kind of think, and I think you've talked about it, that we do get those predictors Like, for instance, I went to see Life today, the movie that opened, and God is so rough. Oh, it's like I was saying earlier, it's like you don't have, it's not like NASA told us to do X, Y, Z. It's something called the committee, right? And there's like, there's a Japanese guy, there's an American, there's two Americans, Japanese, Russian, and you know, it's like it's already happened, you know, like the globalization would put them out there, and that's who they are, you know, accountable to, unlike, you know, like just NASA, you know, it's like it's got to be this conglomerate, this new world conglomerate, but how did you feel finding out that a lot of this stuff was true, you know?
Yeah, to go back, I haven't seen Life yet. It's funny, I was just watching the trailer for it yesterday because I've been behind on my movies lately, and that would look very interesting to me. It's right up my alley, so I'm going to go watch it.
Yeah, it was good.
Is it? Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, you said there's a, they call it a committee?
Well, you get the idea. They're on the International Space International Space Station, ISS. And apparently there's something called the Pilgrim mission that went out to Mars. And they don't say whether it was people, but I don't think it was people. I think it was deliberately to take samples, and then they were on their way back. When the movie starts, you meet the team, basically, and they're waiting to intercept the sample, basically, coming from Mars. And so we see them do all kind of go out and walk and get it in and all that. And that's, you know, like every horror movie starts with a really bad decision, right? And,
right.
And they make a pretty big, you know, eventually, at first it's a little slow in the beginning. And if you like, if you really like science horror or sci-fi horror, like the Alien, you know, that franchise, or even the Prometheus, you will recognize a lot of, Joe is got something going on, I just heard. Anyway, you'll recognize bits and pieces that remind you of those movies. And if you can kind of overcome that, it's good. I liked it. It has a twist at the end. So, I'd like to know what you think about it. So you'll have to make a video and do a review, but you will recognize everything from the shape of the thing to, you know, protocols they have. And you've already probably talked about them in one of your videos. So it's, you know, what I was asking, do you think, like I mentioned to my daughter, that if they're showing us this in a film or, you know, in TV series or whatever, that it's already been sort of like accomplished. In other words, it's almost like preparing us to accept that there's going to be a Mars thing going on, because they really are pushing that. So how do you feel about that? Like, before they show their hand or they show us what they want us to see, they usually give us a little hint. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, that idea of the predictive programming is absolutely real. You know, there's different kind of trains of thoughts on that. You could persuade me either way. Some people say they're showing us things of where they want to take us, and then other theories claim that they are giving us the fair warning we need so that when we do pursue this action, you know, they have no karmic responsibility because they've already warned us, which would apply to a movie like this, I'm thinking. Because in this kind of movie, if they're warning us about these aliens, it could be trying to let us know that this might be a little more dangerous than we suspect. So it's hard to discern what the exact plan is here, or maybe there's different kind of sub-factions of people trying to keep us from doing this stuff. But the thing I do know is that if you look at the history of science fiction has always been obsessed with reaching out to the cosmos and finding alien life.
Mm-hmm.
And the influence of science fiction is found all throughout the occult. So, like if you look at L. Ron Hubbard, founder of Scientology, and, you know, the Church of Scientology has its whole, host of beliefs that many people find a bit odd. But but they he talked about how science fiction had a mission, or I'm sorry, science fiction had like a mission to get man out to the stars. And then you look at Wernher von Braun, who was the Nazi scientist we brought over in Operation Paperclip,
mm-hmm.
and he was the one that pretty much invented the rocket. He was a follower of Konstantin Tsiolkovsky, who was actually the very first subscriber to the ancient alien theory, the idea that aliens actually seeded or aided humanity in its evolution.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you read up on Wernher von Braun, you'll see that he was also obsessed with science fiction tales. And then you look at, you know, you talked about NASA. You look at the history of NASA and Jack Parsons, who's the guy who started NASA, essentially,
yep.
with the mm-hmm. JPL Labs. He was a famed occultist who was obsessed with making contact with entities, and he thought he was the Antichrist. And,
yeah,
you know, it just goes on and on.
He claimed he was the Antichrist, I guess because Crowley took the beast already, so he couldn't call himself the beast, you know. But yeah.
Yeah, I think he believed he was going to be the, you know, the next heir apparent to Crowley on some levels. But Ridley Scott's making a TV series about Jack Parsons, and you know, Ridley Scott's obviously the guy behind Prometheus and the new Alien Covenant movie, which both push. Well, Prometheus pushed an ancient alien idea that the aliens or the engineers, as they're called. Seeded mankind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The big scary guys. No. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. Well, I look at everything through an occult or a supernatural lens, basically, because I know the supernatural reality exists. I've almost been killed by it. I know it helped put my mother in the grave. Occultism and the actual practice of these rituals that are meant to bring you into contact with entities, you know, that are older, they're like older than God, or they're at least as old as the God that's in this system with us. I mean, you know, it's not like, I mean, you can't say, oh, I'm a Wiccan and I'm a white witch, you know. No, it's not. You know, you're not in, you're doing manipulations, you're attempting to manipulate a supernatural reality to respond to you in a certain way. And, you know, in exchange, you're either going to give it your firstborn child or whatever. You're going to give it, you know, offerings of, you know, pork chops, I don't know. But, you know, there's never a time where that can be done easily. And that's one of the lessons where, you know, it's like I wish that the Illuminati, as you've talked about them, would suddenly reach that point where, okay, it's time to pay up, and, you know, then they're wiped out. But that would be too much science fiction, I guess, for us to hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I'm with you. I have, back in, late 99 or 2000, I was involved with a ghost hunting group, and this is before there was, like, TV shows about this stuff. And it was a guy I worked with, and he was playing the EVP tapes for me at work, and I was like, get out of here, dude. Because he's like, yeah, I was out in this field, and he got this recording of a cowbell, which is supposedly a demonic spirit. And I was intrigued by it, so I went out and I did a few ghost hunts with him and his little group, and we caught a lot of very weird, unexplainable things. Like, we talked to my girlfriend's grandfather, you know, on the EVP tape. You know, it was very strange stuff. And then after that, we had some very weird things happening, very supernatural things, like electronics in the house were just going off on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I stopped messing with it. And so, and this is all part of what formed me into my interest in all this crap, is I had that experience. And I already had the belief of a kind of a spiritual realm as well as a material realm. So I had that happen. I said, oh, crap, this stuff's kind of real and it's kind of scary. Then, much to my surprise, you see these ghost hunter shows, and I don't know when the first one started, but, you know, they've been playing forever, and then they're pushing Bigfoot hunting shows and UFO hunting shows. and like you said, all of this is designed to get the common person interested in dabbling with these dark arts, and it is a contract, it's a black magic contract that people are signing without their knowledge. It's kind of like playing with the Ouija board, and I know that sounds very paranoid or or like 80s satanic panic stuff, but it's the absolute truth. You know, even the occultist people know this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's concerning because that's how a lot of entertainment, what I glean, is pushing interest in these dark arts. Meanwhile, everything in society and entertainment and whatnot seems to also be pushing a new religion, a new age, new world religion, pushing Christianity to the back and pushing an idea of individuality and individual freedoms and this one world consciousness idea. And I'm not trying to like talk down on that kind of stuff. I actually followed new age stuff for a while. I was reading the books and found them very inspirational, but the point remains, I can see this happening, and it's almost like the formula is out there, and once you are aware of it, you just see it at every angle.
Yeah. Having watched your videos longer, my daughter and I went to see, she being the one, went to see the Suicide Squad, and I initially wanted to see it because I thought Tom Hardy was in it, but then I was like, okay, yeah, I'll go with you. And then after we saw it, I was like, okay, and I can't stand Jared Leto. And she was just talking about like when the woman turns into the goddess, and she's like, she's giving me these little hints, like, or these whispering saying, now you see, she's the goddess. That's what you're doing. She's basically telling me just what you say in your videos. Like, they are trying to prepare us to accept, you know, the coming of, you know, it's nothing short of Kali or ISIS, you know, or some other god or some other god creature, you know, that's coming. And it is scary how much this jives with everyone you basically just mentioned. Jack Parsons, who was basically trying to create, you know, through Cameron, his wife, you know, they wanted to create Horus. They wanted to bring in the new Eon, and bring, you know, the homunculus into the world so that, you know, the world would end and then it would be reborn in the new Eon, you know. So, but people laugh at things like, you know, Crowley and, you know, everything we're talking about. They laugh at it and say, you know, but they were very serious people. I mean, Jack Parsons started the American Space Program. You know?
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and the whole idea that you hit on there is this evolution of consciousness, they call it. It's this idea that they feel sort of a responsibility to wake the masses up, because that's how much they believe in their sort of religion, this kind of amalgamation of occultism and paganism and, you know, ritual magic and channeling gods and goddesses and talking to aliens. And that's part of my kind of mission, is to understand what all this stuff means and why they do what they do. Because to a guy like me who hasn't really ever studied these things, it's all so foreign to me. But when you see the common thread, you really understand that there's indeed an agenda they're pushing, and they want the masses to maybe not subscribe on an over level, but on a covert level, to understand these concepts first. That's why they're showing it to us in the films. Then they put out the symbols that saturate our subconsciousness. Mm-hmm. And that takes
us into... Yeah, let's talk about some of those symbols. Like, you've pointed them out in the videos and everything, but just tell us a few of them.
Can I ask a question real quick?
No, Dean. Yes, of course you can.
Isaac. I don't know how far back, you know, this conspiracy and things, you know, go, you know, to try to get things into our head with the symbols and things. But what are your thoughts on the Ouija boards being sold in the children's toy department and the new Ouija boards, pink and camouflage and all this. Towards children. Yeah, and Hello Kitty. And it's geared towards children speaking to spirits, actually, you know. So that, do you feel that they're trying to start them out that young?
Yes, absolutely. And that's a great question, because when, as part of my, like in my first book I wrote, my first book was probably the most rational, you know, main, I don't know if you want to call it mainstream, but my most kind of, it was my initial kind of, I don't know, waking up. That sounds a little grandioso, but part of that, like I talked about earlier, big pharma and the food industry and all these kind of deceptions, part of it, you find out, is that the fast food industry targets children. They specifically target children, and they found that, like, rap music was doing the same thing. There was even, like, lawsuits against the music industry based upon this idea that they were targeting children. And the reason for that is... I don't recall if it was McDonald's or one of the big fast food companies. They were on some kind of trial for this of some sort, and they said they were targeting kids because not only could they have the child become an advocate for the company, because now you got the kid in the backseat screaming that he wants, you know, whatever, burger from this place,
mm-hmm.
Happy Meals, right? Yeah. Not only do you got mom getting hit from that angle, now, once you sell a kid on these products, you've got a lifelong customer. You've got another 80 years of purchases from that person versus targeting a, 60-year-old person that you had less time with, you know? So their bang for their buck comes into getting them while they're young, while their mind is more moldable than that. And like you said, with the Ouija board, they indeed target the kids just like you see with Disney movies. I know people don't really... believe in that thing, but like Alice in Wonderland is the best example of what this is. It's their tales based upon the idea of making kids think outside the box to kind of engage in a thought process that defies what society tells them. And I don't necessarily think that's 100% bad, but the idea is they want the children to not necessarily listen to their parents, let's say, but they want them to kind of open their minds up to different thoughts and ideas. So, you know, when they're 6 years old, they're watching Alice in Wonderland. When they're 10 years old, they're watching Harry Potter. When they're 16 years old, they're ghost hunting. Now when they're, you know, 25, they're worshiping Satan, Church of Satan or something, in witchcraft or something like that, you know?
Or they're out in the street, you know, bitching about whatever, you know. They're carrying a sign.
Right.
Yeah. And wearing a pink hat or whatever. Yeah, the whole thing. But it's funny because when you mentioned Disney, because I'm a mom, like I said, my daughter grew up in the 90s and all. And so all of the great movies from, like, Aladdin, Pocahontas, all of them, you know, she had them all. We watched them all 100 times. And then I think what Disney is doing now or beyond that, especially with the live-action movies, is they're telling kids, look, you remember all that magic that you saw in Aladdin? Guess what? You can do it. And look who's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Emma Watson, who was Hermione Granger, she's dancing with the beast, which looks like Baphomet, right? And all of that symbolism, Satan itself or whatever. And they're telling them that. And so that's what kids are demanding. Or, you know, when they get into teen, it's very precarious, just like it always has been, when they become teenagers. You know, because, you know, I had the Satanic Bible. I had it at 12, you know, when it first came out. I'm so old. You know, it's like, and then we had another book by LaVey. We picked our names and all this other kind of stuff, you know, and nothing ever happened with that, you know. But it's like, I was ready for it at 12. And I had, you know, all of the same sort of, you know, Disney except for the early stuff, you know, the early versions of it. So, you know, when I came on voodoo or whatever, and it's like, look, you can actually do magic, you know, and make stuff happen. It was like, wow, that just opens up a whole new world. And people want to do this in real time, you know. But you were talking about how you basically were getting healthy, and I didn't mean to take you down this little rabbit hole, but, you know, you're getting healthy, so you're becoming more aware. And so how did that translate into where you wanted to start actually communicating, you know, as messages to the rest of us?
Well, so the way it, the truth about how it all started was I was in the military, got out of the military, and I went to school full-time while working full-time. And I'd work, you know, 50, 60 hours a week while going to school full-time. I did that. I kept that pace up for about 6.5 years, got my bachelor's. And then I took a break for about 2 years before I started grad school. And I was so used to that hectic pace and learning. I was kind of obsessed with learning at that point. Like, I was kind of a dummy up until college because I was like, I wasn't really interested in learning much about anything. I just was rolling with the punches, you know. So I had some free time, and I was listening to a lot of David Icke stuff. I was reading a lot of David Icke. I had read Bill Cooper's The Old Appel Horse, so I was somewhat savvy because I would always try to push David Icke stuff on my friends and try to say, like, hey, man, you should listen to this, you know. Isn't this cool? There's all these, you know, serpent worship things that you don't realize are connected. And I would try to explain it to them, and I'd get that kind of glossed over look, and I was like, okay, fine. I guess I'm not going to talk to you about this, but I started the website as merely a hobby. I just was doing it as a hobby. I was initially covering just my interests, which are, you know, rap videos, movies coming out I was interested in, and stuff related to David Icke or other conspiracy theorists I was into or ancient aliens. And it was a kind of a sad little blog for probably about a year. And over that year, I started kind of, you know, honing my craft a little bit. And then I'd watch and see what people liked, what I got the best feedback on. They liked the conspiracy stuff. So then I just kind of leaned it out towards all conspiracy stuff. And then I expanded, and I was sharing information I was hearing on podcasts and, you know, various shows. I was just consuming this media just like nonstop, and then seeing it in music videos and saying, hey, look at this. This supports this guy's theory over here, yada, yada, yada. Did that for a couple of years. Then, like, I got so well-versed in the stuff that I decided to kind of expand out, and now I'm going straight to the sources. Or what I find to be the best sources for this information, and I'm reading the books, and now I'm trying to find the underlying truth behind all this and why this is happening. And, you know, much to my surprise, I didn't realize that, you know, like David Icke, for instance, I'm not saying I don't follow David Icke so much, but, like, some of the stuff he says I disagree with now. So, you know, I don't know. To me, it seems like I kind of found my path of what I believe to be the truth, and I just share it with people, and people, it seems to resonate with people, so I'm just going to keep going with it until I, you know, and that's not to say I've never been wrong before. I've definitely had people correct me, and then I've readjusted and studied something else and said, okay, yeah, you're right, I was a bit off on that one. Key example, the ancient alien stuff. but, Because I love Ancient Aliens. It's my favorite show ever. Like, I could watch it just, like, every day, all day. And I used to, I'm not going to say I subscribe to the Ancient Alien theories, but I kind of did. And I didn't realize that it was kind of a deception on some levels. On some levels, it is a great show for expanding expanding ideas and exploring ideas and how some of these ancient architectures and structures, how exactly did they come about. But I found by fact-checking, a fair amount of stuff on that show is kind of debunkable, honestly. And, you know, I don't know, man. It's kind of made me a little more suspicious as to the entertainment and pulling information from, like, TV shows, per se.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I have one example that I can basically... The ancient aliens, you know, everybody's talking about the Greys or the reptilians, and, you know, they have all these different ones that they are, and going back to the supernatural lens, the occult lens, they're saying a little gray man. And I'm seeing, you know, pixies and brownies and gnomes in different times. So what I've basically read, and what a lot of occultism basically confirms, is that there's this reality that has been here probably before we even got here, this demonic reality, which is neither evil or good. It's simply neutral, but when it interacts with us, it becomes one or the other. And so what we see, because we live in a world of space and, you know, the final frontier and everything, what we see when we interact with that particular demonic reality is, you know, when it comes to aliens or something that is alien, some creature that is alien, we see the little grays, the ETs, you know, the big praying mantis. If we were sitting there in a field in Renaissance England, we'd be seeing, you know, little people or things that look like us, but miniature, and then kind of look weird that they were wearing Elizabethan clothes. You know, so what I'm saying is, I don't know if you agree with this, but this has always been here with us. We were basically inserted in this, you know, somehow. But you know, where one person might say it was the aliens, you know, I'm basically going to say it was, you know, the God of this reality, you know, who put us here, who's not necessarily, you know, who a lot of people think that he is. And it's interesting too, because a lot of what the Illuminati and you know, the Kabbalah and all of that old, that Judaic mysticism plays a big part in how the Illuminati came about. So why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, how they were formed? Because I know at one time there wasn't just one overarching, you know, hey, we're the Illuminati and you can't use our name or anything. Because I know there were several, but well, how did it all fall out? I think the one in Germany, basically, is the one that when we say them, we reference. Is that true?
Yeah, so if you're talking about the, you know, so the Illuminati, the term the Illuminati has become this kind of umbrella term, and I'm not the person that came up with that by any means, that I don't know how it came about, but when people talk about this hidden agenda, when the people that execute this are called the Illuminati. Now, if you're talking about the historical Bavarian Illuminati, who is supposedly kind of gone underground and is still a major player in this whole thing, that's, you know, something that it was formed back in, I think it was 1776, by Adam Weishaupt. And let me
no relation.
Now, cause I know. I'm in no relation. My name is pseudonym. My name is not Isaac. My name is not Weishaupt. That's a pseudonym for the IW and Illuminati Watcher, do it to protect the innocent. But so Adam Weishaupt started that, and a lot of their beliefs tie in to, you know, Aleister Crowley and the Anton LaVey's Church of Satan. It's a lot of these ideas of individual freedoms, which, you know, on a personal level, I can get behind a lot of this stuff, and I've always been kind of an advocate of personal choice and a lot of things, and that's where my personal dilemma comes into play, because it seems to me that a lot of these social movements and stuff, they allow people more freedoms, but then you can also see there's a tinge of perhaps Illuminati agenda behind them. Example being, like the destruction of the family unit. They talk about how. Other theorists talk about how, you know, the Illuminati are pushing this, you know, this pro-gay rights agenda, and they want everyone to be transgender, like the Baphomet. And the reason they're doing that is because they want to destroy the family unit, because they know that this will make a divide-and-conquer strategy where they can, you know, like you see in the movies 1984 and such, that they can break people up easier that way. But I've always been an advocate of, like, equal rights. And if you look at a lot of these kind of occult beliefs, like I said, like the Church of Satan, like a lot of their stuff has always been, like, kind of more on the feminist side of the argument, pro-choice with stuff. Certain things, not all things. But it's a very weird kind of fine line to figure out where my personal beliefs fit into all this, because, you know, it's a very confusing sort of realm that we're in, because I'm a Christian, albeit a very terrible one, and I have a hard time with a lot of the beliefs that my own church subscribes to. So now it's like, well, what am I supposed to do with that? How do I reconcile the idea that, like, my church won't give homosexuals communion? And I'm like, you know, I feel like people, I've got gay people in my family, transgender in my family, my direct family. And we all knew from a young age that they were not heterosexual before they could even formulate the thought in their mind. So to me, it's not a choice that people make to their sexuality or gender identification. So, you know, and whether or not that's because of, you know, some kind of genetic thing that happened, I don't know. I'm just saying that I hate the idea of not viewing people with love and equality just because one, you know, some people translate the certain thing a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm going all over the place with this, but
that's all right. That's
but yeah, it's the Illuminati themselves, the Bavarian Illuminati was the late 1700s, and it's funny because some of their beliefs were kind of echoed in the American Declaration of Independence, this idea of freedom from a state religion and that kind of stuff. But then if you look at George Washington's letters, he had wrote some letters warning about this Illuminati group and how they were going to infiltrate the government and all this other stuff. So it's kind of confusing to try to make sense out of all of it, but all we're left with is this idea that there's a secret group, they want to push the whole of society down a certain path, and that path seems to be one of an occult belief system, and part of that is the necessity of believing in alien life forms and the evolution of mankind into a new being.
Yeah, and then the apocalypse comes, I guess. When you were saying communion, are you Catholic? Can I ask you that? Is it Catholic or are you?
Yeah, Eastern Orthodox, which is very similar to Catholicism. We just don't have a pope.
Well, we do. He's the devil, right?
Yeah.
I can't stand him. I mean, he is the false prophet. To hear some of the things that are coming out of his mouth and, you know, and the way that, you know, I don't know, his encyclical, which he's prone to giving out, you know, quite a few, you know, especially the one on ecology and on, you know, the world and Gaia, the mother, and I mean, it's just, and then saying,
is he talking about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, wait a minute, you know, that doesn't, you know, that really doesn't go with Catholic, Catholic, what do you call it, the catechism that we were taught, you know, but fine.
Right,
and,
right.
I'm more in agreement in my Catholicism. I'm a little bit more medieval, and so I'm kind of like in the traditionalist camp where, you know, sede vacante, the seat is vacant, and it's never been more so than now. I don't trust him as far as I can pick that man up and throw him, and I can't, you know. I do not trust him. And when all these people or these organizations that are at the top of their heap, like he's the pinnacle of, you know, at least the Catholics, and, you know, then you have the Christian, the Protestants and all these other ones that come along. It's like, you know, when they're in control, you know, how are they going to control everybody? That's what, when everybody says, okay, there's a couple of tribes somewhere that we don't even know what they do or who they are, because anybody that tries to go find out, they kill them and eat them. And if they go in helicopters just to take photographs, they throw rocks at them and stuff. So, I mean, there are parts of this world that don't know anything about the other parts, and they don't care, you know. So, you know, what is it, a false positive? I mean, who tells the Illuminati, okay, you're in control now? I mean, how do they know that?
No, that's one of those questions I couldn't answer. Yeah.
Well, I know one of it.
I think
like,
the,
I've heard you talk about population control, and that might be one of the ways.
I think that they want, if you look at a lot of these kind of occult kind of beliefs, they want to pursue the elixir of life, they call it alchemy, or the philosopher's stone, it's this idea of immortality, and they want to cheat death. And I think even the Bible, I want to say it's in the book of Revelations, it says something to the effect of the end days, man will not be able to die. And I think that that is the end game, is immortality. And the way they're going to do that is through technology, and I firmly believe that is going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen in our lifetime, it very well could. But they want to do transfers of consciousness into digital format.
Mm.
What that'll do is, I don't know if you've read the sequels to 2001: A Space Odyssey, but there were I think there's three sequels after that. I think they made a movie on the second one, but that was it. If you read the third and the fourth one, you find out what they did was these alien creators evolved man to do exactly that. Man becomes a being of light that is able to live immortal and just travel through the cosmos. And that's what they want to do, and you can find out all of this stuff. Just like if you read some of Ray Kurzweil's work, he's now the director of Google, but he's for years and years been writing books about technology and predicting future capabilities of technology. And he's, for the most part, correct on almost all of his predictions. And if you look at, like, Elon Musk, some of these other people, I can't remember the name off the top of my head. A guy wrote a book called Human Deuce or something. I don't know. But the idea is that the technology is going to make that happen. It's going to be no different than having a Facebook account. In fact, I think that Facebook was buying into a company that was making these things called Mind Files, and that was the exact idea, was that, you know, I'm going to go into this thing, I'm going to create a mind file, basically it's going to have all my preferences, my likes, the way I talk, the way I look, what I think is funny, what I think is gross, all these things. And then it makes an avatar in digital format, then everyone's avatar can go into this digital world and interact with one another. You can go and visit people, you know, 100 years from now, they could go and visit their great-great-grandfather or whatever in this digital form and talk to them.
Oh, God.
And that's, it's some out-there stuff, but it's interesting because...
I will tell you this, okay, and this is an example, which my daughter and I talk about all the time. Here I was alone. I was in the car. I had nobody there to say, hey, I'm thinking about such and such. I was thinking about something that I wanted to buy. I was thinking, you know, well, maybe I'm going to get this or whatever, and where I was going to put it, you know, it's the table, you know, so I was thinking, So I didn't tell anybody, you know, I didn't tell Amanda. In other words, I never said the word, hey, I was thinking today about buying a table. Later, I go on Facebook, and I swear, all along the side, I've got, Wayfair, Jobs in Maine, and I'm like, who knew that I was thinking about a table? Now, how did that happen? I understand the occult principle of that, of projecting thought, onto other levels of being, on different planes of existence, of communicating with thought, with entities that live on those higher planes. But I was sitting in my car in traffic, okay, thinking, I might, you know, and it gave me like three examples of tables that I might like to put in my house. That is,
That's weird. Either I'm
I've
heard that in like the last week.
Yeah, and it's happened to me more than one time. The other time was when she and I were just talking. We were not in front of any of our stuff, like phone or anything. And we were just talking about something, and then sure enough, on mine, that she hadn't seen it. She hadn't seen it, and then later it showed up on hers. Whatever we were talking about was available by, you know, in this ad, Walmart or whatever it was. That kind of stuff, that's scary because who heard that? You know, who was listening? I mean, I know who I think might be listening, like, you know, your guardian angel, all this other stuff, but, oh, you know, or, you know, whatever, depending on, you know, what your belief is. And I know there's something there that can hear us speaking, but if it can get into our consciousness where, you know, I mean, the lower consciousness, which is where stuff comes from, then there's this lowest, you know, this subliminal consciousness, that's important in magical work too. But I'm like, who heard that? Okay, that's unsettling. And now that I've spoken about it, we're all gonna see ads, all right, for tables and stuff on the side of the thing. But I seriously considered getting off social media, at least, you know, just for a little while, you know, like giving it up for Lent or whatever. But, I mean, it's scary and I don't like that. And the idea of, like, you know, our consciousness living in some machine, which is the new movie, you know, Ghost in the Shell, that Scarlett Johansson is in. I don't like science fiction. I don't want to go live, you know, like on a space station or, you know, if I could go anywhere, I'd go back, you know, me. I mean, I'm a real historian. I'd rather just go to some other thing that already happened, but, where do you?
Yeah, they're pushing all the superhero movies and the science fiction stuff all at the same time. That's what's pretty much out there now, is these kind of bleak looking futures and these sterile spacecrafts. It's a very strange thing happening.
Total dystopianism. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's supposed to be, and that is true on every, you know, on TV shows and, you know, everything that we look at, basically, you know, there's like that show, The Magicians on Sci-Fi, which just, you know, when you look at it, like you just gloss over it and say, oh, it's a Harry Potter ripoff. But it's not, because it's really, you know, that melding of occultism or the occult and science is what Jack Parsons wanted to do. And it's becoming, you know, in other words, he moved the marker a little bit, just like Curly did along the way, you know, and I don't want that, you know, and maybe I'll be dead when actually I'll, you know, it all happens, and I'll, you know, I'll be living in a machine somewhere, huh, Bernadine?
Well, they do have people that are freezing their bodies for the future, you know, and I guess money, you know, has a lot to do with it, especially when celebrities get into the mix, you know, with, like we were talking earlier about Lady Gaga and what they were doing around Halloween at some high rise.
Oh, yeah, the Pizzagate thing. And, yeah, talk a little bit about that, Isaac. You know, that whole Pizzagate, the occultism behind it, Marina Abramovitz and Podesta.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about that? Because you've done several videos on it.
Well, you know, I think that this is one of those kind of scary truths that is so kind of deep and dark that there's an obvious cover-up of it, because, you know, for people who are unfamiliar with it, which I talk to people, and a lot of people have never even heard of this, which blows my mind, but what is...
Mass media.
You know, Yeah, they've done a good job at it. And you know, a brief overview of what happened was WikiLeaks released a bunch of emails from the Democratic National Committee on it. They one thing they did was they proved that they were coordinating to get Bernie out of the picture because they wanted Clinton in so bad. Then another thing that dropped out of it was this her campaign manager, John Podesta. He was sending these emails. I'll probably preface all this with allegedly, because I don't want to get, you know, sued or drop them off. but Podesta was writing these emails, and on it was all these strange coded language of finding maps to the pizza and handkerchiefs with hot dogs and what color of, you know, I want 40,000 hot dogs in Hawaii tomorrow, and like all this strange stuff. And what kills me is that the mainstream media, and even Snopes, they all dismissed it. They all said, look, these conspiracy theorists are going off on a tangent about crazy Pizzagate stuff, and it got so bad that this guy took an assault rifle into this this harmless pizzeria, and you know, this is what happens with, when people start listening to conspiracy theories, and that's been the big push since in the last 3 months is trying to dismiss conspiracy theorists.
Fake news, they called it right at that time.
Fake news, right?
Right.
That's when it happened, right? And that's not to say that that's, you know, there are some news websites that are kind of fake news, like that. That's a thing. However, there is a coordinated effort, and I want everyone to watch for this. I've been watching for it in the last couple of months, and I see it all the time. And they want conspiracy theorists to look crazy. And part of this was because of the Pizzagate thing. They didn't want anyone to look into it. They just wanted people to hear, oh, man, this Alex Jones guy has got people running into pizzerias with assault rifles. They need to, you know, maybe they should censor free speech, you know, those kind of thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So as part of this email, these hacked emails that came out, you find out that John Podesta, I believe it's his brother, is connected in with this avant-garde performance artist named Marina Abramovich. Mm-hmm. I watched her, she just released a documentary like, I don't know, 2 months ago. You can watch, and you'll find a lot of these kind of occult ideas. And she talked about some of her past performances, which were, you know, they're, I don't want to say they were shock value. I don't know if that was her intent, but they were very shocking to many people. And one of these was this thing where she called spirit cooking, and they would use bodily fluids like blood and semen and make art with it, essentially. And a lot of theorists were quick to point out that, hey, that's what Aleister Crowley did, because Aleister Crowley did what the same idea, but he called it the cake of light.
Mm-hmm.
And they would use it as a communion in their Gnostic black mass.
Yep.
So the idea is that, you know, through 6 degrees of separation, Clinton to Podesta to Abramovich to Crowley, you've got these kind of closeted occultists that are doing these kind of dark rituals and possibly doing, you know, child abuse stuff. It's really dark stuff.
Yeah, because Thelema, or Thelema, as some say, I don't know if I'm saying it right, I'm from the South, but that's all that is basically sex magic. I mean, most of what Crowley did was sex magic and Enochian magic. He was doing both. And the goal for him with Enochian was to get those things, in other words, to violate the watchtowers and to come into our reality. And those things are the things that allegedly CERN is getting in touch with now, the dark matter. But the thing that he was doing practically in physicality, in the physical world, was sex magic. He got kicked out of, like, Italy. He got kicked out of somewhere else, like Morocco. You know, he was doing it. He was even too nasty for the SS, because he was working with Germany, you know, when Hitler was coming into power, because there was so much occultism about Hitler and the Nazis. It was all sex magic. So when they said, you know, so many pizzas and hot dogs equals children, and this woman is doing sex magic, I mean, that was when the light came on, you know, over my head going, this could be real. You know, it sounds like they know what they're doing. And, you know, that's like a, you know, a Chicken Little running around going, oh, my God, this could be real. I can't believe it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing it on this massive global scale.
It's literally quite unbelievable. And when you see Lady Gaga had a perfume called Fame, and in it she claimed that there was blood and semen inside the perfume. Which, in like you talked about with Crowley, he talked about using these bodily fluids to attract demonic spirits. So when Lady Gaga starts selling perfume to kids that has supposedly blood and semen in it, you know, you gotta wonder if that's not some kind of mass ritual to draw demons into our world, much like CERN trying to poke holes into another dimension, which I personally think that, you know, this is all part of that idea of reaching out and finding these aliens or these, what they think is their gods. They want to prove to their gods that they were able to, you know, reach the cosmos.
Well, one of the most complicated, we're kind of getting to the end of the hour, but I'm going to let you wrap up. One of the most complicated magical workings are the keys of Enochian magic. And there is a theory, I've got 5 minutes, there's a theory that, you know, the Enochian angels, and they're always called angels, that appear to John Dee and Edward Kelly, and Kelly did not trust them at all. They basically have planted in our consciousness the keys for the apocalypse. And if you look at the translations or the messages of these angels, they are telling us this is what we are giving you here, this doctrine is the thing that we will use to thresh you, basically, and basically come in and kill you. So that's, you know, that's out there. That's in play. And Crowley, the most notorious, one of the most notorious things he did was in 1904, he went into the Gobi Desert, and he worked the 39 keys, or the 38 keys. He didn't do it right, but after he finished the ritual, we had World War One. We had technology. We advanced in from 1900 or 1904 to the end of the century, more than man had done in 10,000 years. So that's what they're trying to get in here. And, you know, if those things get in here, they're going to eat them too. they hold no loyalty. You know, now we're talking about something that's totally, you know, out of the whole God theme and devil sort of thing, you know. But I just wanted to just sum it up and maybe, you know, just give a, you know, a recommendation for people who want to read or hear more. Obviously, to go to your channel on YouTube. But where are you going with that?
Yeah, it's all over the place. I've been doing a lot of radio interviews lately. I'm working on a full-on lecture. I'm going to give that a shot. I'm not sure where. That's probably going to be fall 2017. I'll be plugging that everywhere. But, yeah, I've got IlluminatiWatcher.com is my website. Like you said, I've got a YouTube channel, Illuminati Watcher 1. That's the number one. You'll find it on there. Pretty popular. There's I've got all the books available on Amazon and Audible. I self-narrated most all of them. They're all available on Audible, which is retrievable through Amazon. And right now, you know, unless someone's listening to this in the future, maybe they're the time traveler John Teeter. But right now on my website, I've got kind of like a giveaway promotion thing where if you buy one of my signed paperbacks through my Gumroad store, you can get a free Audible download code for my latest book, The Star Wars Conspiracy, which goes into all this Disney stuff we've been talking about, and aliens, and how they're trying to use occult stuff to mind control the masses, particularly the youth. But, you know, if someone's just trying to dabble in this and wants to learn a little bit more, they can go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, sign up for a free email newsletter. I'm the only one that works that. You can unsubscribe and I will delete it out. I do not sell that. I do not spam people out with that stuff.
I just signed up today.
Nice. All right. Yeah. That's kind of like the first level of commitment to learning, because it'll kind of walk you through the archives of, you know, various articles I've done over the years, as well as I've put out continuous updates and new articles, new videos, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I have one more question. Are you afraid? Are you afraid that, like, you're treading, you know, somewhere where...
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Obviously it worries you, obviously.
Yeah, I was talking to Max Spiders right before he passed away. You know, he's the guy most people are familiar with, is the UFO guy from that died in Poland. And, I got a real good feel from him that he was an honest dude. And, you know, when he passed away, it blew my mind, 'cause he kept talking about all these weird things that had been happening to him. And I find it odd, because even in some of the UK articles about him, they say that he was reading this book on satanic rituals, and they talk about my hip-hop book, Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, which is not about how to do satanic rituals, but it kind of puts me close to that, and, like, it is kind of scary stuff, to be honest, especially, like, the Pizzagate stuff. I don't write a whole lot about Pizzagate, because I think that's too close to the truth for, you know, I still gotta live, you know?
Yeah, and you should, and none of us should live being afraid like that, because I think when we were first talking about having you on, and I mentioned it to my daughter, she was like, it kind of gave her a little bit of a you know, sort of a blip, like, you know, you shouldn't be on there talking about Illuminati stuff. It has so much fear, you know, it generates so much fear. I don't know if that's just, I used to think it was just crap, you know, basically. It was them writing and believing their own PR. But with the occult elements, you know, no. I think they're to stay away from for a reason. But, I mean, you've got to, you know, you've got to be able to express yourself. And, you know, I can't see any of your, there's a whole lot of other videos out there who are crazy, and I think they'll get them first, you know what I mean?
I don't want to be the slowest dog in the race.
I mean, they've got some guys who are like, you know, you know, they're just totally off the, I don't even, you know, I don't want to go there. They're, you know, beyond, I don't know. But anyway, thank you for joining us. And you know, I hope, I think what you've taught us and what you're teaching us is that there's always more than one way, you know, to look at something. There's more than one way to skin a cat, you know, the whole thing, you know, basically, you know, it's only what we perceive to be reality, you know, what's reality might be for us. So, well, thank you for joining us, and go and see Light.
Yeah.
I'd like to see what your video is going to be on that.
Will do.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Isaac.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Great. Thank you, Isaac. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Well, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and talk about it. Hang in there, guys. We've got a break, and we'll see you soon.
Y'all clear, guys.
Rich, if I gotta go to the bathroom. I'll be right back.
Are you on TV?
No, I was queuing up y'all's music, and for some reason, video of Miami Vice came up. I was like, what the fuck is Elaine sending me? I was like, damn. Where it came from was just kind of weird. Sure the hell it popped up. I don't know.
1 3/4. Don't ask me to do math. Is it 1 3/4? Hey. All right, we're back here at the Supernatural Substation. I could listen to Isaac all night, you know, which I mean, I'll go and watch a bunch of his videos. So what do you think, Bernadine? Do you know more than when we started?
Oh, yeah. I know a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's got, like, hundreds of videos, too. I mean, it's some weird stuff. When you start watching, not just him, but really the other ones more so. It's like, you know, there's this one guy on YouTube that does nothing but, like, it's the end of the world. I mean, you get to a point where between what you hear on the news and it just depresses you, you know? It's like, you know, it's like I bought a bag of marshmallows and it said on the label, you know, produced with GMO something or other, you know. It's like, oh my God, you know, GMO food, they want to put your consciousness into a robot or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's just so crazy.
It is. And it's interesting how one of the stepping stones on, Isaac's, you know, road to doing all this was paranormal investigation.
Right.
Yeah. Fooling around, like I used to say, or I like to say, with EVP, probably in cemeteries, you know.
It scared him, too.
Well, yeah, because it did, and with good reason. And it's like you and I, you know, can tell them. It's like, yeah, some of what's out there, you'd wish it was the Illuminati instead, you know. Oh,
right.
And these people are not all of these people. They're trying to get this in here. You know, with us. They're trying to, you know, especially the Enochian system, which I don't, you know, I've read the translations of the angels and stuff like that. I'm not going to do Enochian magic because I'm not going to do it because it's nothing but numbers and tables and this number. And I mean, if you like, it's like trying to pass, you know, business math or something or algebra. It's like, you know, I'm not going to do it, but there are people out there that are working that stuff. And that's, you know, that'll bring some serious, hurt into the world. If they're able to get the entities, the angels that they want to bring in into this reality, then there's going to be nowhere to hide. Seriously. There will be nowhere to hide. But
one day they will have that formula.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we'll be gone and gone to cons by that time.
Yeah, we can help from the other side.
Yeah, from our friends on the other side. So I wanted to just mention that on Facebook, and I think I don't think I got to tell you, but remember, I was merging our two pages, and I renamed one that was just sort of a fun page that we had for posting all kind of pictures and stuff. Well, it's renamed The Supernatural Substation, or The, depending on how, The Supernatural Substation. And it's on Facebook. There's another page that I'm going to be phasing out. I'm just trying to, stop redundancy. We had two pages, so if you're listening and you like our page, or you would like to like our page, then you can go on Facebook and look for The Supernatural Substation, like us there, and, you know, we'll put our ads about what we're going to do, what we're going to have on, et cetera, and we are going to post random stuff. So if you like creepy pictures and weird sayings and, you know, fashion and Halloween and weird food, then, you know, come there too. Eventually it's going to have all kind of schedules and stuff like that, but anyway, you can help us keep the craziness going after the show is over. So, and we're going to need to get a Twitter out there too. So I've been looking at all this theme. I'm thinking, you know. So
I'm thinking.
Yeah, do you smell the wheels going?
Yeah.
Where you are. It's like, oh my God. It was a terrible Facebook. You know, I'm like, I wanted to merge the two pages and, you know, it's just this easy. Click here. Well, no, it's not. Not, I'm still waiting on figuring out. But anyway, you know, it's interesting, it's scary, you know, what we've been talking about, but, you know, you just gotta believe that there's something better, you know, that, I mean, in the end, you know, these people don't win, no matter who they are, in the end, when it's all said and done.
There's something, topic I wanted to touch on with him that I didn't get to that you may know something about. It was on, I don't know, maybe it's you that put it on my Facebook. It's this guy that's trying to be genderless.
Oh my God.
Having these surgeries to not have a gender, period, and look like an alien.
Oh my God. Yeah,
now, which restroom will he use and how will he use it?
I don't think he needs a restroom. They should just catheterize him, okay?
I mean, we don't have enough in this world.
And
crazy.
He's like, I'm not doing this to draw attention to myself. But, you know, he's got all of these pictures that look like a RuPaul cast call, you know. Yeah, that was me. And you know what? That's pretty screwed up, I have to say. That's what this stupid, this genderless crap and this gender identity and all some stuff is turning people into. That. You know, I've got a news flash for you. In this physical reality, y'all, we are born male or we are born female. I don't care if monkeys are homosexuals. I don't care if frogs can change their gender. I don't care. You're born with the chromosomes. you're born with the junk, okay? And some are born with both junk. And then it's a decision about what prevails, testosterone or estrogen, et cetera. I mean, that's simplified. And then you know what the cat off, right? But you can think you're anything.
That's
right?
A medical problem, though.
I think I'm queen of the world today. Tomorrow I'm going to be, you know, it's one of the first things you learn in kindergarten. You don't get your way all the time, you know. So this complete anomaly, he's a human anomaly. His name is something O. Okay, his last name, O-H-H. Oh, you know, oh, how did you think that up? How long did it take to think that up? You know what it is? It goes with, oh, that's what it is. When you look at him, you're like, oh, yeah.
Oh,
he
what
has
is
the,
he?
I don't know. Well, he's going to be, I don't know. I mean, he should become a textbook. He really should. And they should have, like, sections on, you know, dysphoria when you're a child, you know, confusion about your gender and mental illness. And the result is, and then we can have pictures, you know, this hacked off whatever, okay? It's the same thing with these people that tattoo themselves and get their tongues cut and get all of this crap, you know, these added on, you know, horns and all this other crap on their bodies, in their heads, and all this other stuff. You know, and the famous one was the guy who had himself done to look like a tiger or something.
Right.
And he committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I guess, you know. Yeah, I'd like to get Johnny O. I'd like to have a conversation with him. Johnny
yeah.
O.
They don't want attention, but yet if you stare at them, they ask you what you're looking at.
Well, they don't want attention, but they're plastered all over everywhere, you know. So
yeah,
I'd like to get into that into that conversation. Can you imagine these people when they die and they haunt? I could see you. Look,
what will they do?
Are you a man or you know? I don't know.
I'm genderless. What do they put on the tombstone? Oh?
Question mark.
Yeah.
A question mark, you know. Oh,
here lies, oh.
And here lies a completely screwed up, confused individual. He should be, actually. I'm not saying that. I'm like, you know, this is just ridiculous. It's making us have conversations we don't need to have, you know. So, but yeah, I was the source of that, but it's just so damn funny. It's like, you morons, you stupid morons. Anyway, we're down to like 3 minutes here, so I don't know who we got next week. I haven't talked to you about it, but we will be back next week. So, anything else, Dean, before we shut it down?
No, that's about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, if they want to contact you,
they can contact me at Bernadine, Bernadine, at lspr-society.com.
That's right. And if you're looking for me, and they can find you on Facebook too. If you're looking for me, it's www.ellenzastanio.net. And on Facebook, and on Tumblr, and everywhere else, and on our new official Facebook page, the Supernatural Substation. So, we're going to wrap it up for another weekend. Deke has been very quiet here, so we're just going to...
Oh, no.
Yeah, he just went spraying.